It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, coming to you in the New York, New Jersey metro area. And, of course, worldwide online at mybradio.com. That's mybradio.com. And for those that have the great 77 WABC app, we're on there as well. We thank the great listeners. We just checked the latest ratings. And, again, we came in the top 10 in New York AM radio, according to Nielsen. Big honor and a special thank you to you. This show, Mind Your Business, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are in your mind. Gain insights on so many professions and categories, including sales, corporate culture, real estate, leadership, strategic planning, marketing and advertising, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where it's certain that you will gain advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, we open with the thank yous. Special thank you to Pesach Trapper, the show's producer. Thank you. And to the entire team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays such an important support role for the show. Cirilli, Rena, Miriam, Dina, Hoodie, thank you. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, Alex, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you. Also, I'd like to give honorable mention to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Mishpacha Magazine, the monthly Take 5 column. The most recent one was the feature of the episode we had with Shep Hyken. And we were talking about his new book, Be Amazing or Go Home. That was really a special show. And by the way, I want to remind the listeners, every single show that we've ever had on this program is archived on mybradio.com, and you can access it. Many of them were videoed as well, but certainly all of them, they became great podcasts, very popular podcasts. You could easily access it all by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. We're also syndicated on C-Suite TV, C-Suite Radio, Audio Boom, Player.fm, iTunes, and YouTube. We have a robust YouTube channel. And again, it's all easily accessible by going to mybradio.com. You can follow me on my Twitter handle is ysaftless, Facebook, Yitzhak Saflis. Any way you spell it, I'll come up. I think I'm the only Yitzhak Saflis in America. That's pretty cool. And regarding the archives, I actually just want to give some perspective to the type of guests that we've had on the show, in case you're tuning in for the first time. We recently had Shep Hyken, a world-renowned customer service expert. In the past, we've had Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, Paul Massey of Cushman & Wakefield, Chris McCann, CEO of 1-800-Flowers, Jeffrey Hazlett, John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, and the list goes on. Captain Sully Sullenberger, of course, needs no introduction. The list goes on and on. Great guests week in and week out, and we appreciate your trust in the show, which, of course, has us in the top 10 in New York AM radio. Well, without further ado, getting to tonight's amazing guest, Jeff Kreisler. Jeff is the editor-in-chief of PeopleScience.com. He's also the co-author of Dollars and Cents. Now, yes, not C-E-N-T-S, or we'll get into that. Dollars and Cents. We're going to have a very engaging conversation on how to understand money. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome, Jeff Kreisler. Jeff, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being here. It sounds like an exciting time and a fantastic show.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to read a little bit of your bio here, and then we'll get some perspective, okay? Jeff Kreisler is just a typical Princeton-educated lawyer, turned author, speaker, pundit, comedian, and an advocate for behavioral science. What does that all mean in English?
It means I've alternately disappointed my parents and made them proud, but I never have kept it on a steady pace. The short version is I went through some great schools, undergraduate at Princeton, and then I went to law school, and then I wanted to be Thurgood Marshall or Thomas Jefferson. Those jobs were taken, so I went and tried to explain complex things by using comedy, which led me to writing a finance column on thestreet.com, Jim Cramer's website, which led to a first book and then an opportunity to write this latest book with Dan Ariely, who some of your listeners may know. He wrote Predictably Irrational and some other best-selling books, and that's sort of where I am. I've I abandoned the straight, direct path of the law career for something a little more meandering, but I feel like I've had a little more impact, and there's no purpose in regret, so
well,
I've enjoyed it.
So, okay, what is this recovering attorney business?
Well, because I technically, I mean, once you pass the bar, I think you're, or even maybe just once you graduate from law school, you're technically always an attorney. But I'm recovering from a very brief and inglorious period of practicing. I have a great respect for those attorneys that love their job. I have family members who are attorneys, but it was not something that connected with me.
Wow.
So I'm recovering for them from that brief moment when I thought I was going to be an attorney.
Now we're going to jump right into the book, Dollars and
Sure.
Cents. And folks, Dollars and Cents, of course, you're probably thinking, okay, great, Dollars and Cents, C-E-N-T-S. No, Dollars and S-E-N-S-E. And that's what we're going to get to the heart of in tonight's conversation. And that's why this show, we felt, was so important that we bring someone like Jeff Kreisler to the listeners. The primary listenership of this show are small to medium-sized business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, just going back to Jeff's book, the subtitle is How We Misthink Money and How to Spend Smarter. Now, when you see him speak, you know, normally talks about the, I'm not going to, steal the thunder here, but he does talk about it from the personal sense, but we're going to even give perspective tonight from the business sense, which is the, really the forum of this program. But let's go. You open your gig usually with, of course, okay, how many of you in the room, you know how much you spent on a tank of gas or a gallon of gas? And then how many do you know for a gallon to heat your home? And, of course, no one raised a hand. And we're not going to talk about, lifting the phone line today being my exercise.
So, right.
So, give perspective here. It's a fantastic, pitch that you have there when you speak. So it's really engaging.
Sure. Well, thank you for that kind introduction to the topic.
Yes.
I think that all of us can relate to the fact that we've made financial mistakes, whether it's personally or with our business. And what we try to do with the book is to understand why. What are the common mistakes and misperceptions, and to understand sort of what is the psychology behind these financial misjudgments, because, we really believe that we can't change human nature. But if we understand human nature, we can then create systems and products and environments so that we take advantage of our human nature instead of being taken advantage of. And, I talk and speak to a lot of different people, different communities about this. And I always begin by talking about money because everyone thinks about money. Everyone relates to money. But the lessons of sort of behavioral economics and the lessons of the psychology of money and the forces at play are the same forces whether you come from a consumer perspective, like why did I buy that car and why did I not save for retirement, or you come from the perspective of clients and customers or even employee engagement or incentives and consumer loyalty. All of these factors and even really our relationships in our lives, how we value things in our lives, all of these factors are about the fact that sometimes things are just really hard to value. And the book is about financial value. It's hard for us to assess the worth of, a widget is the traditional economic term, but even like how do we know that buying a shirt is worth, the $60? Or how do we know that buying a home is worth $700,000? How do we measure these things? And most of us, we really can't assess that, and so we rely upon these shortcuts, these biases, these sort of things that we, these irrational decisions that aren't based upon the real value of something, but it's little tricks that we've taught ourselves subconsciously, often sometimes consciously, to say, oh yeah, that Coca-Cola is worth a dollar, or it's worth $5, and what really happens is we are uncertain about the value of things, particularly financial things, and so we then fall either prey to other people's suggestions or our own suggestions. And what we try to establish as a baseline, as a sort of a baseline economic argument of how you should think about things, is something called opportunity costs, which, as many listeners probably know, if you make a financial decision to spend $5 now, you should think about the opportunity cost, which is what else could that $5 be spent on now or any time in the future?
Mm.
Now, that's how, like, the rational economic man, the person in the Econ 101 book,
right,
thinks about economic decisions, but those people don't really exist. You know, we're human. We don't have the time, right?
I was going to say, like, who are you talking about? Do they really exist? Yeah, because
right.
The average
but traditional
person,
economics has always been about this perfect person, like with all the information and all the time to do calculations. But that's not how we really are, right? We don't have patience for that. We're not going to sit at the Starbucks line and say, "Oh, this latte could be 0.1% more money in my retirement account in 30 years." Like, no one has that time. Right. So we end up taking these shortcuts and mistakes, and that's what the book is all about: is exposing the different types of biases, the different type of traps we fall into. And then, you know, explaining some ways maybe we can overcome them.
Folks, my guest this evening is Jeff Kreisler. He is a co-author of the book, Dollars and Cents. And he's being very gracious. One lucky listener is going to win it. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to get an autographed hardcover copy of Dollars and Cents, How We Misthink Money and How to Spend Smarter. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group, marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
So recently, a healthy couple in their mid-50s came into Alitra Health for their longevity exam. They were not expecting particularly to find anything wrong on the assessment, but the exam showed otherwise.
Dr. Avi Nemitz is medical director at Alitra Health's Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity.
So they go through a very complete evaluation, blood work, scanning of the coronary arteries, stress tests, evaluation by nutritionists and exercise physiologists. We sit down at the end of the day, and his whole world changed in that moment.
Alitra Health provides a full, in-depth, comprehensive longevity exam to detect problems before they occur.
Without an intervention, he was going to have an active cardiac problem. So I told him, look, you're going to be fine. He left with a lot of confidence, knowing exactly what he was supposed to do. We understood what he had, and now he's going to be able to deal with it.
Why spend time worrying when Alitra Health in Manhattan can provide you with a complete snapshot of your health today? Visit AlitraHealth.com. That's E-L-I-T-R-A Health.com. Alitra Center for Life and Longevity. Because nothing matters if you don't have your health.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Thank you for joining me in tonight's show. My guest this evening is none other than Jeff Kreisler. He wrote the book. He's actually a sought-after speaker. And by the way, Jeff, maybe you could share, how could people contact you, either for speaking engagements? How do they contact you?
Sure. The easiest way is just my website or Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn, all of which are my name, Jeff Kreisler, K-R-E-I-S-L-E-R, and that's .com or just @, whatever your particular medium is. And you can also go to peoplescience.com and track me down through there, which is a new website that I'm editing, JeffKreisler.com.
We're going to get to that because Jeff is the editor-in-chief of peoplescience.com. We're going to get to that in a little bit later in the show. You know, just before the break, we were talking about how people relate to money and how they either understand or don't understand how certain products and the amount of money that needs to be assigned to a certain item for purchase, etc. Crossed my mind. I mean, thank God, happily married, but there's got to be a difference, perhaps between men and women, how they look at money. Or maybe you have another way of explaining it. Like, I know if I go to a grocery store, my wife sends me out to buy a dozen eggs, and they charge me, $9.99 or $15.99, I probably wouldn't know the difference. Not that I don't think I'm an idiot in terms of money, but just at the same time, buying a dozen eggs, I just don't, I have no idea what it runs. Whereas my wife would say, what, you spent $9.99 on a dozen eggs? So what's going on? you know, where I imagine if it came to you know, something that I'm familiar with, a digital camera, you know, perhaps, I mean, is it a difference in how we're wired, or is it come down to familiarity? I mean, how would you tackle that?
I don't believe that men and women are wired differently when it comes to thinking about money, but I do recognize, I think we all do, that we all gain expertise in certain things. I mean, if in your case it sounds like your wife has done more shopping at the grocery store than you have, so she's has a database of knowledge about what eggs should price or what the range is, whereas you may have, you know, the reverse sort of database from your experience and your exposure to the price of digital cameras. So that makes sense. And in a lot of ways that, you know, it comes into play when, you know, you will have more uncertainty when you go to buy some eggs, so therefore you're going to be more likely to fall prey to the suggested price, whereas your wife is going to be less likely to. At the same time, one of the fascinating things we talk about in the book is this concept called anchoring, which again many of your listeners may have heard of, which is that the first price or the strongest price that we feel that we connect to a product, it has a very, very strong pull towards us, whether that's like the manufacturer suggests a retail price of a car, or just what we feel because of our past experience, your wife's past experience buying eggs, what she feels that something should be, is going to have a strong pull. And yet we're prone to these suggestions, no matter how much experience we have. There was a study years ago in Tucson, Arizona, and the real estate market, and they took a bunch of realtors into homes, and they set up the homes, and it was really just one home. They set it up, and different sets of realtors, they told them that the listing price was different. So one said it was, you know, $200,000, one it was $220,000, one it was $240,000. And they said, okay, you're realtors, you're experts in this field. What is this home's true value? What should it sell for? And even these people who were experts in the field, they were still affected by that listing price. So those that said 200, they had a lower listing target. Those that said 220, a little bit higher and a little bit more. And it shows the power of, you know, this anchoring, the sort of the first price you see for something will impact you. Now, to be fair, to go back to the eggs and digital camera, they did that same experiment with lay people that had no sense of what the market should be, and they were much more impacted. You know, the swings between the extra 20 or 40,000 were much stronger. But those realtors who were experts and who were, you know, like your wife, had shopped for eggs hundreds of times, they were still impacted by that listed price. And again, that it goes back to that sort of uncertainty. Like, what is a home worth? You know, you can have your experience of having sold hundreds of homes or bought hundreds of eggs, but yet you still don't really know absolutely for sure. And that's one of the ways that money can affect us, and that we can make financial mistakes, is through that anchor, that first suggested price to us.
Now, if I may, just from a business perspective, and certainly for the many business owners and executives in the audience, perhaps you can give some perspective from that angle, and that is, let's say there's an IT company out there, and let's say they charge hourly, and they're not sure what their hourly rate should be, and they decide they're $150 an hour, and another one says, you know, I'm going to set my bar at $300 an hour, so that I'm appreciated more, and that I now, you know, set the bar so that I'm landing a certain set of clients. Yet at the same time, they're kind of shutting themselves out from a wider, a wider array of prospects. Perhaps we could talk about it from that angle as well, as far as developing a price for a product or a service.
Yeah, well pricing is something that is sort of the reverse side of the book, essentially,
right.
And it is. But the book and the lessons of behavioral economics really play in, because you know, there's a vast amount of studies that do show these impacts. Like you said, maybe I'm valued a little more if I come across as someone that charges $300. And it is a challenge, and, you know, oftentimes it requires specific businesses and specific industries to really study what their competitors are doing, what the field is. And some of it comes down to this concept of anchoring. A lot of it comes down to our sense of fairness and effort, because, you know, as consumers and as potential clients in this case, again, we don't always know what something's worth. And what we will base that on is, you know, one of the things we base on is what we think is the amount of effort that someone puts in, as a sort of proxy for whether or not we think the price is fair. And, you know, I look at two examples sort of at different extremes. One is that, experiments will show that we will pay more for a locksmith who fumbles around for an hour and breaks several locks and is sweaty and cursing and takes all that whole hour to get us into our home. We'll pay more for that locksmith than a locksmith that opens up and, you know, gets us in our house in a minute. When the one who takes just 1 minute is clearly more of an expert and we're paying for incompetence otherwise, but we don't know what it's worth to pay a locksmith, but that one has shown us a lot more effort. The same you think about like consultants, high-priced consultants like the McKinsey's of the world. Right? They come and they go on work for a client for several weeks, and they show up with a huge presentation, tons of PowerPoint slides, and it's a three-hour presentation. All you care about is the last slide, and the recommendation is normally fire everybody. But they show all this effort, and they say, oh, all this effort, look at all these slides, look at how much we've done. You know, we're worth $1,500 an hour, or we're worth, $150,000. And it seems like that is true because we have sensed this effort, and we sense this fairness. So for those, going back to your example of trying to price, so should I price myself at 100 or 300, some of that pricing will then, reflect whether or not you are able to have those clients believe that you've made that effort or you have that expertise that is worth that. And that's a real challenge, whether you're a freelancer, and I know that from my own past as a writer, or you are just a newer small business, is to get a sense of what it is. And I think my perspective is that you ultimately need to decide, well, they might only see a few little blips of effort, but I've actually put in all this time. And to, if you find yourself pricing yourself for the end product at a rate that makes it seem like, the hourly effort is only a few dollars an hour, then you're too low.
And Jeff, I have to commend you, because when you touched on something that's just fantastic, and I really want to come back to it, if I may, and that is how people, especially on a service business, especially in that a client kind of expects and wants to see the vendor sweat a bit, if we may put it in that type of perspective. That if like you said, this company A, company B, company A does a project, charges $5,000, and delivers it with ease, and then the other company goes ahead and I wouldn't say makes a fuss over it, but kind of puts on a whole, a series of going out of its way to make the impression that they really jump through the hoops for their client. And yet at the end of the day, is it fair to say that 99% of clients want to see that from their vendor? Meaning they want to see that the vendor jump through the hoops, even though at the end of the day, it really comes down to the product or to the service. Why is that? And is that, I'm not asking if it's fair, because that's just the way it is. So I guess my question is, is it really true that 99% of the people, companies or people are that way, that they expect that? And yeah.
And why is that? Sure. Yeah. I don't want to attach the 99%. I don't want to attach a hard number to it, but certainly people and clients are more likely to value something if they've seen the effort that's involved. In the absence of some other, reason, like it's a strong brand, or, they really know the client, or they whatever, in the absence of something else, like you're paying per pound of gold, and it doesn't matter how much effort it took to get there. But in the absence of something like that, they do value based upon the effort. There's a classic fable of Pablo Picasso sitting in a park, and a woman comes up and says, "You're Pablo Picasso, paint my portrait." And he says, "Okay." And he looks at her for just a moment, and then he scribbles in one stroke, and he hands over his canvas, and she says, "Oh my gosh, this is amazing. You've captured everything about me. You're such a genius. How much do I owe you?" And he says, $5,000. And the woman says, "What? That just took you like 2 minutes. It's not worth $5,000. And he says, "No, it took me my whole life plus 2 minutes. That woman didn't see the whole life, didn't see the whole expertise, just valued that 2 minutes. Now, Picasso's not going to time travel and have that woman spend her whole life with him. But the point being, she only valued what she saw. And so, yes, on the flip side, if clients see the effort, particularly things that they don't really understand what goes into it, they're going to value it much higher. You think about online services like Kayak or these travel websites. You know, they could provide the answer for you when you say, how do I get from New York to California? They could provide the answer for you instantaneously, but instead they show you these little progress bars, right? These little spinning wheels, or they show you all of the flights and then they start eliminating them. So you see all the work they've done to get there. And that is so that we value all the effort that's gone in, so that we understand somewhere there's, you know, a code that's been written and been engaged. And we're more likely to appreciate that than the instantaneous response.
Great perspective. In a case, folks, in case you just tuned in, my guest this evening is Jeff Kreisler. He wrote the book, co-authored the book with Dan Ariely, Dollars and Cents, S-E-N-S-E, How We Misthink Money and How to Spend Smarter. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, so many different ways. One lucky listener is going to win a hardcover autographed copy by Jeff. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win an autographed copy of Dollars and Cents. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today. Or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening, Jeff Kreisler. He is actually a pretty famous speaker, comedian, and he co-authored the book, Dollars and Cents, How We Misthink Money and How to Spend Smarter. It primarily goes from the personal perspective, but hey, at its core, every business focuses with a person at the top. AI has not taken us out yet. So, you know, we're hardwired, we're humans, and so therefore, even though it's from a personal perspective, I felt that there would be great value for our listenership, which is primarily small to medium-sized business owners and executives. So, Jeff, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. So, you know, we've spent quite a bit of time talking about the value we place on things. Perhaps you could give some perspective, or how would you answer this, to give any personal or business budget tips? What advice would you give?
I think it's important to be aware of both the benefits and the cons, the problems with budgeting. I mean, budgeting is great, but there's this concept in behavioral economics called mental accounting. That is the idea that we create mental accounts for our money, depending on how we earn it and on what we spend it. So oftentimes we think of, you know, it's tax season, so it's a great example. Like, people treat their tax refund like it's a bonus, and, you know, they tend to spend it with less care, more frivolously than they would if that money was doled out regularly over 12 months. So imagine you get a $12,000 tax refund, just for easy numbers. May we all get that. people will spend that very differently than they will spend it if instead we just got $1,000 more every month of the year. And that's because we create this mental account. Like, that stuff we earn monthly, we think of, that's our hard-earned money from our job. We have to be responsible. We have to budget. We have to think critically what goes to food, what goes to rent, what goes to discretionary spending. Whereas like a bonus, right, that's like winning the lottery. That's like found money. That's, you know, special. Let's go on a trip. Let's buy a fancy dinner. When really money is one of the great things about it is that it's fungible, meaning like any dollar is the same as any other dollar. And all of that money is our money. It doesn't matter where it comes from. And yet we do sort of think of these things in these mental accounts based upon where they come from and, again, where they go. Like people set up discretionary spending accounts for their dinner or their nights out, and then they have their rent and their necessities, and you know, then they have their long-term savings, which is useful. I mean, that again, that's important to like make sure you carve off money for necessities and for savings. But yet again, on a basic level, like that is in some ways irrational. And those two sort of examples show how, you know, these different accounts are both useful and dangerous, right? We shouldn't care that we get our bonus. We should treat it like all our other money. But at the same time, it's good that we save, and it's good that we, you know, provide for necessities. Now, there's ways to take advantage of that human nature again, from both the personal and a business perspective. From a personal perspective, mm-hmm. You know, and in many ways this works for a business too. Oftentimes we think about what we have to spend. Our discretionary spending is based upon what's in our checking account. So, you know, if we see when we go to the ATM, oh, we have, you know, $10,000 in our checking account, mm-hmm. That's sort of what we tell ourselves we can spend, or we base it on that. So what we can do to create a system to take advantage of that is for those of us that get like, you know, automatic bill or automatic
debit
contributions to our bank account, right? We can have our employer put some percent in a savings account and some in a checking account. So our checking account balance looks like it's less. And therefore, based upon that bias, that irrationality, we think we have less to spend. Now, if we stop and think about it, we know we have this other money, and that other money's there if we have an emergency or we have a need for it. But just on an ongoing basis, we'll spend less. We'll adjust our spending to what we see on that balance. And the same can work for like a small business. If there is a particular account that you're always drawing your small business spending on, but you want to make sure you're saving money to invest long term, or you need to save money for tax purposes, whatever, you need to not spend as much, then you can put less money into that discretionary spending account. The other money is still there. If you have, you know, heaven forbid a fire, or you need to, you know, hire somebody, or you need to invest in new product development, you can always get that money. But in an ongoing basis, if you find yourself spending too much, that is one sort of trick to take advantage of this mental accounting that we do to benefit yourself and your company, as opposed to having be taken advantage of.
Really, really interesting. I'm going to ask this next question again from the business side of it, but
sure.
Okay, let's say you take a healthy small business, and let's say in its account on a regular basis, we'll just take a wild number, $25,000, and they're thinking about taking on a new piece of equipment or taking on a new initiative in order to scale the business. And they have the $25,000 in their account, but they also have, a $25,000 line of credit. And they're like, maybe I'll just pull it from the line of credit. It's only whatever 8% is the interest rate. What tips would you advise them to say in order to dip in to that money? Should they go to the credit line, or should they take it from their, you know, what's sitting in the account?
A lot of that decision about whether to choose the credit or the existing cash really depends upon the individual business. I think what's important to think about is stepping back to this issue that we have thinking about money, and that is assessing the opportunity costs. Right. So think about, if I'm going to pull out $20,000 from my cash reserves, what is that costing me, or what else? What can I not do now or in the near or long term future if I don't have that money? Now, one way to think about it is, you know what, if I take $20,000 out of my cash to spend now on this, I'm not going to incur any interest. And should something arise where I need money quickly, you know, there's a damage to goods, I can then tap that line of credit, which has the interest rate. So maybe I should just spend the cash and not incur the interest, because I can, you know, get that other money in a pinch. That's one potential way to think about it. In general, I think most financial advisors, whether it's personal or business, would say don't incur that interest if you don't have to. But you may need that cash reserves, and if you spend that $20,000 cash reserve, you may put yourself in a bind where having the line of credit doesn't help, right? You may have ongoing payroll that you need that to cover, right? Because you're in a business where your income really fluctuates every month. So it really depends, again, on each individual business. But thinking about what else could be done with that money is really the key. And to think broadly. I'll do one quick example from my co-author. He did an experiment where they went to a car dealership and they asked people about to spend, let's say, $25,000 on a Toyota, right? What else could you do with that $25,000? Now, no one could say, it could be a couple of vacations. It could be, retirement savings. They couldn't think about the opportunity cost. And when pressed, the best they could do is say, if I don't spend $25,000 on a Toyota, I could spend $25,000 on a Honda. It just shows how we don't think about the opportunity costs. And as a business, you need to do that, right? If you don't, if you use that line of credit now, what can you not use it on if you suddenly need something in a few months or in a year?
Right. Great perspective. My guest this evening is Jeff Kreisler, and we're talking about Dollars and Cents. And, of course, that is the name of his book, Dollars and Cents, S-E-N-S-E. It's available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. The subtitle is How We Misthink Money and How to Spend Smarter. We're having some great conversation. In case you're just tuning in, no worries. As the listeners know, by Tuesday morning, the entire episode will be up at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Jeff is being very gracious, and a lucky listener is going to win an autographed hardcover copy of Dollars and Cents. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to receive a hardcover autographed copy of Dollars and Cents. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Okay, so you're considering a comprehensive medical exam, but you haven't decided where. At Elytra Health in New York City, we know you have a tight schedule and that you only want the best. We also know you have choices to consider. Well, consider that you could have a world-class executive longevity exam at Elytra's state-of-the-art Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity, right in downtown New York City. Think about the fact that the experts at Elytra Health are a hand-selected staff with more than 30 years of experience in executive exams and concierge medicine, and that top doctors in the area refer their patients to Elytra. Something else to weigh is that cardiac imaging, cancer screening, labs, and all other testing is completed in a single five-hour visit with white-glove service. Plus, you'll receive the results, advice, and follow-up coordination before you leave. Finally, consider how easy it is to get peace of mind from an Elytra exam now by visiting ElytraHealth.com. That's E-L-I-T-R-A Health.com. Elytra Health. Well, above all.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at MYBRadio.com. My guest this evening is author, speaker, Jeff Kreisler, and he co-authored the book Dollars and Cents, How We Misthink Money and How to Spend Smarter. One lucky listener is going to win it. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win a hardcover autographed copy of the book Dollars and Cents. And again, thank you, Jeff, for joining me here in tonight's edition of Mind Your Business.
You're welcome. It's been great.
Well, thank you. We are going to talk now about peoplescience.com. Behavioral science, what's that all about?
Well, behavioral science is, essentially the study of human behavior, but it's to create it scientifically. I mean, it comes from a foundation in psychology, but it infuses this traditional economics and that sort of traditional economic behavior. And it is really a growing field. Richard Thaler just won the Nobel Prize in Economics. Some of your listeners may have heard about him.
Right.
Michael Lewis recently put out a book about a couple of the founders of sort of behavioral economics theory called The Undoing Project. So it's getting much more traction in the popular sense. Obviously, my book has just changed the world.
Right. of course. And that's why we have you on Mind Your Business.
Exactly. I really believe that we're at this moment now where, data science, I think, has been sort of broadly accepted from sports to businesses to, like, we wear our Fitbits and our iPhone to tell us everything. Healthcare companies know all this data. I mean, even to the negative side, what's gone on in the news with Facebook and everything. But people have embraced data, and now there's sort of a question within business, okay, what do we do with this data? And, they've shown that just having all the information that Fitbit provides doesn't necessarily change human behavior ultimately, or it does short term, or having all the information about, your health, your habits doesn't change it. And so what we really need to do is take the data science and then combine it with people science, with, like, what do humans do? What motivates them? What influences them? How do you incentivize them? How do you get them engaged? And that's where behavioral science comes in. There's all this amazing research from my co-author and his colleagues, and others are doing incredible work. The field is growing, and they're finding these incredible things about how humans behave, how they interact, how they, react to certain motivations, again, or inputs and emotions, and whether it's finance or not. And that's wonderful. And then there's, on the other side of a gap, there's industry and there's businesses saying, that looks really cool, but what do I do?
Right.
Like, how do I implement this principle into my business? Like, what are the ethical questions? Are we manipulating people? What are the practical questions? How much does it cost? Like, how do I make it happen? How do I experiment? And, it's this moment where there's, it feels almost like a little exciting tension, because there's excitement and hesitancy at the same time. And, behavioral science doesn't provide sort of off-the-rack solutions, right? It may say, customers aren't saving for retirement because of these factors, and this is what we've seen. But if you're a bank and you want people to save for retirement, you have to take that idea and then think about your specific business and your specific people and experiment and make it work. And which is both exciting and challenging, and that is sort of where people science has come in. You mentioned earlier, it's my feeling that these, as I said earlier, the forces that impact our financial decisions, they are the same forces that impact us at work, and that impact us as businesses and as clients and customers, and impact even our relationships. And so it's looking at all this great research in so many fields, whether it's money or employee engagement or loyalty programs or rewards cards, all this stuff that it has implications for behavioral science and how people respond, and looking at how that can be then applied to businesses. And we have academics writing for people science. We have industry professionals from, like, companies both huge, like General Motors and Bank of America, and small little startups, mom-and-pop shops, all having this conversation in hopes that, like, we sort of get in front of what I feel like is this wave, this new sort of seeking alpha. I'm sure many of your listeners know in the investment community, alpha is that little edge you get between the market and your behavior. And I think that, or your performance rather, I think people, behavioral science really can provide that for forward-thinking companies.
Now
that's where we are.
Now, it's very interesting you're saying this, because I've heard that there are, I don't know, going back even 6 months, a year ago, 2 years ago, wasn't that, what I'm about to, the particular title that I'm about to mention wasn't that known, but I've heard that many companies have now instituted a chief behavioral officer. Is that or is that actually, like, new, and that is a concept that was brought on because knowledge of people science and the concepts?
Yeah, so that is a growing title. And people have really sort of embraced, some companies have embraced this idea of having a chief behavioral officer to help them understand the potential, to help sort of bridge that gap between the emerging, you know, scientific field and what their particular business and industry is about. I would recommend to companies that have the potential to hire a full-time person, it's a great thing to do because that person sort of can be siloed from being caught up in the traditional way that the business is done and sort of then think about, you know, how to incorporate potential changes. But whether you have that position or not, people are doing or hiring, making that hiring because they're seeing that this is something they need to understand, and they need to understand how it applies to their company and their industry and how it applies to their workforce and their client base and their customers and the potential clients and customers and workforce that they have. And it is definitely growing. Right. That wasn't there a year ago. It's a very new position.
My guest this evening is Jeff Kreisler. He co-authored the book Dollars and Cents. It's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon. One lucky listener is going to receive it. All you have to do to enter this giveaway is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win a autographed hardcover copy of Dollars and Cents. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Thank you for joining me again this evening. My guest is Jeff Kreisler. He co-authored the book Dollars and Cents. Yes, S-E-N-S-E, Dollars and Cents, like make sense of the dollars. The subtitle is How We Misthink Money and How to Spend Smarter. Jeff is being very gracious, and he's going to personally autograph a copy. One lucky listener is going to win it. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win an autographed hardcover copy. Otherwise, if you don't win it, you can still be a winner. Go out and buy it. It's, of course, out in Barnes & Noble, Amazon. In fact, the Washington Post says, what the two authors do brilliantly is take behavioral economics and make it really accessible. Bring your sense of humor because Kreisler is hilarious. That's the Washington Post, folks. So, yeah, congratulations. That's pretty nice accolade there.
Thanks. Yeah, the response to the book has been fantastic, and it sort of achieved the goal we had. And why I think Dan worked with me was because I have this background in humor and communications, and using humor to make what can be complex or difficult topics more accessible. And the response has sort of said that this is, we're not breaking new ground in the sense we're not revealing a new study that's changing the world, but we're sort of making the existing science more digestible and easier for everyone, regardless of your level of knowledge, to understand and appreciate.
That's great. Now, you're known as a comedian as well, so I'm just going to turn to this. As we mentioned earlier, the primary listenership of the show are small to medium-sized executives and business owners. How important is it for someone to have a sense of humor to kind of, I won't say let go of the rough and tumble of the business world. Obviously, they have to keep their mind and, you know, their eye on the ball and the prize in front of them and make sure they're achieving their goals and that their bottom line makes sense. But is it important to, you know, have a sense of humor and, you know, let loose a little bit in the business world as well?
It's a good question, and I'll start my answer with the warning part of that.
Okay.
And that is that, you know, people are still in a corporate and business environment, and I always say to anyone I consult or talk with about adding humor, if you think it might not be funny or it might not be appropriate, don't say it, right? If the little tiny yellow flag goes off, it's not worth it. Save it for the cocktail bar later. Yeah. That said, I do really strongly believe that a sense of humor is important in our business, both internally and communications and being a leader and having a sense of humanity and not taking yourself too seriously. You want to have respect of those that you lead, but at the same time, a sense of humor, some self-deprecation can help people really relate to you more and then can help understand sort of the human motivation and the human reasons why the goals that you set are important to you, the person, right? If you act like you're just a set of rules, people aren't going to feel a sense of purpose. They're not going to feel engaged and connected. And there are even studies that show the more there's a sense of purpose in people's work, the more they are able to commit, the more they really buy in. And some of that comes from leadership, and it comes from leaders being able to sort of express the goals in a way that's clear and understandable. You know, and I talked about our book response, that people said our book was more accessible and engaging, and part of that's because of the humor. And sometimes humor can break down those barriers in that setting. Same with externally, right? If you want to communicate to potential investors or clients or partners, like what your business is about, being able to communicate that simply and quickly and in engaging, accessible way is important, and humor can be one way to do that. It can help set up a talk. You know, everyone always says start your presentation with a joke. I don't know if I totally believe that, but the point is the reason is to get people on your side. Again, I would pull back to the caution of don't just assume, you know, that the knock-knock jokes or the take my wife please jokes are appropriate. But to the extent that you have a natural sense of humor, don't hold that in. Let it come out, a little bit with, again, you know, be aware it's still a corporate environment. And, you know, if you think it might not be right, check yourself.
Wow.
But yes is the answer. I think a sense of humor is important because it humanizes the person that's providing that sense of humor and makes the whole exchange and environment a lot more real and a lot more engaging.
Now, Jeff, the hour goes fast. These shows are just, especially when you have great guests as yourself, they're very, the time just flies. As we approach the close, I always like asking a question that, you have a lot of perspective. You wrote the book Dollars and Cents. Folks, it's a great read. Go out and buy it. It's obviously Barnes & Noble, Amazon. Dollars and Cents, How We Misthink Money and How to Spend Smarter. I'll just remind the listeners, one lucky listener is going to get it for free. All you have to do is text to enter the giveaway. Enter by texting over MYB to 64600. 64600. MYB, and one lucky listener is going to win a hardcover autographed copy. But I guess my final question is, what, perhaps you could share just a takeaway for anyone in business on how to look at money from your experience. What final takeaways would you share with the listeners of the show?
I guess there are two. Mm-hmm. One is a broad sense to recognize that no one, even experts in money, even experts in the behavioral science of money, no one is immune to these biases, and no one is immune to having uncertainty and not knowing what something is worth and the value of it. And I think you do a service to your clients and customers and partners to the extent that you can sort of make clear why something is priced the way it is or why there is a value in what you do. Make it clear that the choices they're making, it's based upon this opportunity cost, right? That you are providing the best use of their money, both now and in the future. And to the extent that you can convey that, you will help eliminate some of that uncertainty, which makes people act emotional and irrational. The other thing I would say is recognizing that, again, everyone, no matter how much they know, has issues of self-control when it comes to financial decision-making, that even when we know what is the best decision, we know we should save for retirement, we still don't do it. And to recognize that that's going to come into play in your workplace. It's going to come into play in your own decisions, your own choices, as well as those of your customers and clients. And to, you know, be prepared for the ramifications of that, however it may play out. That even if you present the best product at the best price, there may be irrational reasons why someone makes the other choice. And to sort of take a moment and think about what are the human reasons why the people I deal with are making their decisions. And given that, what systems can I create to help them make better decisions?
Folks, you heard it from Jeff Kreisler. He wrote the book, co-authored the book, Dollars and Cents, How We Misthink Money and How to Spend Smarter. Well, that wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.